like to call the meeting to order. Requirements of the Open Public Meeting Law, 1975, Chapter 231, have been satisfied, and that adequate notice of this meeting has been published in the Star Gazette and posted on the bulletin board at Borough Hall stating the time, place, and purpose of the meeting as required by law. Would you all please rise and join me in saluting our flag?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Can I have a roll call, please?
Kumka?
Here.
Heinrich?
Here.
Noon? Here. McDonald?
Here.
Conry?
Here.
Hagan?
Here.
Thompson?
Yes.
Okay, first up, we have a proclamation for one of our retiring Department of Public Works gentlemen. Come on up, Don.
Said, as you can see, Don dressed for the occasion.
Yeah, absolutely.
Got my tie on, though.
Face the audience so they can take pictures.
John wants.
Oh, I should be able to take a picture.
The proclamation of the Borough of Washington, where Don Henry has began employment with the Borough of Washington as equipment operator in 1985 at the Department of Public Works and was promoted to Assistant Supervisor of Public Works in 1999. Mm. Whereas Donald Henry has served the Borough of Washington with skill, dedication, and commitment above and beyond the expectations of the community. And whereas Donald Henry has retired after 30 years of service to the Borough of Washington on December 31st, 2015. And whereas Donald Henry will always be remembered by his fellow workers for his dedication, willingness to help others, and for his drive and focus during his 30 years of service. And whereas the mayor, on behalf of the entire council of the Borough of Washington, desires to express the appreciation of the entire community to Donald Henry for his many years of service to the Department of Public Works of the Borough of Washington. Now therefore be proclaimed by Scott McDonald, the mayor of the Borough of Washington, in the County of Warren, State of New Jersey, that the heartfelt appreciation of the mayor and council of the Borough of Washington and all its inhabitants are hereby expressed to Donald Henry for the years of public service to the Borough of Washington. Be it further proclaimed that this proclamation be duly enforced, signed by the mayor, publicly presented to Donald Henry on December 15, 2015, and forever recorded in the official records of the Borough of Washington as an everlasting tribute to Donald Henry by an appreciative and thankful community. Presented this 15th day of December, 2015.
Greatly appreciated.
Okay.
Okay, then we have council appearances. We're going to start off with recreation. Mr. Cioni.
Hello, everybody. Victor Cioni, Recreation Chairman, Washington Borough. Here before you tonight to just give our year-end recap, which is what we do every year, sort of like a highlight of all the things that's gone on in recreation in 2015. Obviously, I'm not going to waste everybody's time and read everything, but I just want to touch on some highlights. Some of the accomplishments. First, I'll talk about obviously the biggest thing that we did, which was the splash pad. The splash pad was a huge success, and you could look at some of the numbers there. A lot of people came, heard about the splash pad. I think a lot of our memberships went up, and day passes were sold as a result of the splash pad. Resident approached me on the street during the summertime and told me how it was the first time they had ever been to the pool, and they lived here their whole lives. And they really love the splash pad. So that was an impressive event. Special thank you again goes to Veolia Water for taking care of the water pipe replacement, which saved us a ton of money every year. And it's not just the money that we saved, it was just the leaks that constantly would happen, and it would just make for a bad, bad pool summer when the pool had to be shut down, or, you're digging up parts of the fencing area. It was pretty bad. But this year, knock on wood, we had nothing, so that was big. Another big thing we did a couple of years ago now, and it's really caught on a lot, is the online ACH payments for all the registrations. huge number, probably at this point, probably over 60% of our registrations are done online now. And that's worked out really well, and it gives us a good accounting as well with the bank. Cameras, the cameras have been purchased, and we already have, they're in our possession. The Comcast cable lines are already been put in. Thank you to Borough Manager Blanchard for helping us with that. Now we're just waiting on the electrician to schedule his installation.
Okay.
Some other accomplishments, the townwide 5K race was back. We held it at Meadow Breeze this year. Didn't have as many runners as we thought we should have had, considering the weather was really good, but I think next year we're just going to have to try a little harder. Although it was profitable, and we donated half of our funds to the Evan Murray Foundation. Again, our programs, our existing programs, consistently, for the most part, are gaining in popularity every year. The numbers are ticking upwards, and sometimes the numbers don't tick upwards, and sometimes they go down a little bit, but that could be cyclical because of the kids, you know, not younger kids aren't available, you know. So, but for the most part, the programs are healthy and self-sustaining. One of the big things we did at the end of this year is, out of Rec Trust, we spent over $17,000 on a custom-made pool cover, which was huge for us because it's something we wanted to do for years. It does cut down dramatically on the amount of effort and maintenance for the pool in the springtime. No dead carcasses, no algae, debris, leaves, all kinds of nasty stuff that has to get taken out of the pool. And it should prevent us from having to paint the pool like every other year, because just because. So we're really happy with that, and it should last us quite a long time. I think the warranty is 10 plus years. We also erected new netting at Borough Park. Recreation paid 50% of that cost. The posts and netting are beautifully done, and I think that we can actually look to expand our programs even more now that we have the netting up there with baseball. High school baseball, we could try to get the high school teams to play one home game there, stuff like that. I mean, now we have more options, obviously, and it's a lot of safety that's been put in place. One of the concerns on slide 7 I talk about a little bit, and you guys in government understand this too, a lot of times there's statutory increases in things like salaries and the like, and materials cost more every year, chemicals cost more every year. So, I mean, we're not in jeopardy right now of having to raise rates, but it's something that we have to constantly battle. Obviously, we defer raising rates by marketing and hopefully getting more people to come to the pool so we can make it up in volume so we don't have to raise rates. But in the next few years, I think it's going to, as the margin gets lower, I think we're going to have to think about it at least. It's not something we want to do, and nor do I think we have to, but it's just something that could happen down the road slightly. Again, process improvement. We do year-ends. We do surveys at the end of each of our programs to ask the parents how we did and what can we improve on. I think that's important, and it's resulted in a lot of changes that we made to our programs. Again, I spoke earlier briefly about the 5K race, something we'd like to continue. On slide 10, we have 2014. We introduced team name and identity to bring some borough sports together, and that's the Borough Bears. That's been very receptive. We actually sell articles of clothing now to the parents with the Bears logo on it. And we purchased all new uniforms for the borough teams. And a segue into that is, if you notice, for softball, it was actually a loss of $1,400. The reason that was a loss is because of the purchase of all the uniforms for the girls, because the old uniforms just were too old and they weren't the correct type of uniform, so we had to change that. But that's what I would call like a sunk cost, so we won't see that probably for another 5 to 7 years if they're well maintained. And again, as you can see, the numbers pretty much either stay the same or in some cases they go up. Some programs, are doing really well. Men's softball next year, they're actually combined. They're going to a different league next year, so they're looking to expand probably to 8-plus teams. So that would be huge for us as well. And again, we got a lot of compliments on the conditions of the fields, and between that, the stadium lighting and the condition of the grandstand that's been redone, a lot of teams are very impressed with our facilities. Swim team numbers, you know, they go up slightly. Hopefully they'll go up again this year. Again, we had a lot of kids place in championships and stuff, so that was a big plus for this year. Swim lessons we took a hit on. I'm not really sure how well that was managed. That's something that I put on the rec director's list of to-dos to rework that. 2014 obviously was much more successful, and 2015 I think it was just poorly managed. I'm not really sure why the numbers were so low, but that's going to change, and we'll fix that up right away. One of the things that we see a trending up now at Aquazumba, I think this is going to be, this will be 2016, I think will be year three that we've introduced Aquazumba at the pool. And as you can see by the highlight, the numbers have gone up significantly. A lot of people from the borough and non-members, it doesn't matter, show up. So it's got a nice following and steady people. And we actually just introduced winter Zumba as well for adults at Memorial School for this winter. Mm-hmm. Tennis clinic, again, best year we've had. We had 21 kids. Again, this is a real easy program to run, and it's run by the tennis coach at Warren Hills High School. Mm-hmm. And it just gives the kids another option of another sport. Never going to be a huge clinic, but it's still a good, small, easy clinic to run. Little Hoopsters this year, again, higher numbers. We're at 40 kids this year, and that's pretty much the max because we have Taylor Street, which is tiny. So that's a good thing. One of the things that we started doing with those types of programs is we get donors from sponsors. So they purchase the T-shirts for the kids, and they get their logos on the back of the shirt. So that defers a lot of our operating costs as well, which is another way that we could spread the expenses around. Some unexpected expenditures. This happens every year. Some of these things we're asking for in the 2000 budget as far as reimbursement for replacing of filtration and pool pumps. There's always going to be something with an electrical repair or a plumbing repair. So these monies were paid out of recreation trust. And again, on page 16 is a more detailed explanation of the pool revenues. I won't go into details. You could look at them yourself. Again, for the third year in a row, the pool was profitable. Capital maintenance projects. These are kind of things that we'd like to get done for 2016. Probably the grandstand, the outside blue part, probably needs to be scraped and painted again. The sun just really takes a beating on it. And we could use community service workers probably to do that. Just basic, we're getting to the point now where I think with the park, all the parks in the pool, that most of the heavy lifting has been done in the years past, which is a good place to be because now it's maintenance and you're kind of looking for things to do, which is a big difference than having them thrown in your face. So there's some compliance things that we're working to do, some safety things, and some more aesthetic things. But again, most of the heavy lifting over the last 4 years has been completed. So the parks are in better shape probably than they have been in a while. And again, some potential new ideas for next year. There's just so many you could do. It really depends on time and effort, how many people we get to help volunteer. But some of these are more ambitious than others. Some of these things harken back to years ago. They used to have music in the park. We'd actually try to like to get back to that. Yoga, again, relatively simple thing to implement. Microbrew festival, maybe not so simple to implement, but ambitious and interesting.
Will Sione's Vanilla Porter be there?
It might be. It might be.
Victor, you know, an idea for that, for the Oktoberfest, would be to tie that in with the 5K.
Well, run to the Oktoberfest.
But that's what they do in Easton.
Yeah,
that's right.
They get a ton of people.
Well, it's interesting that...
Everybody gets a beer at the end of it.
Yeah, well, yeah.
You're on your whole run.
Right. We, it's actually interesting. John and I, Monteverdi, had a brief discussion about maybe tying it into the downtown festival and doing an Oktoberfest there. The biggest problem we have with the park, as far as doing a microbrew festival, I mean, theoretically, it would be perfect venue. I mean, you could literally take the baseball field, because it is enclosed area, so you can sort of open one gate and control the flow of people in and out and make sure they're paying. The whole perimeter of the baseball fencing could be all of the vendors. You can have food, you can have music, you can have entertainment sections, you could do it all. The biggest challenge I see with this, doing a microbrew festival, or a wine festival, or anything like that, would be parking. There's no park, well, there's minimal parking, and then you have people parking all over town and walking to the park, which is fine, I mean, but it's not as convenient as some of these huge venues that have these types of things. Again, this would be something that you'd have to have a committee of people working on, because I'd be fired from my job if I started to do this by myself. So, I'm not looking to get fired, so. But this is something I've been looking to do for years. It's just a matter of logistics. So, I mean, it can be done, it's just a matter of do we have enough people that want to do it? And again, I want to thank the donors, the volunteers, the Washington Bid, Kathy Halpin of the Shade Tree Commission. They donated 2 trees to the park. Washington Borough Rotary, Kevin, of course, Kevin has been indispensable from Veolia Water. ACF Landscaping, Washington Animal Hospital. A lot of these are our 5K sponsors as well. And that's another way we could defer our operating costs for the 5K is to get more and more sponsorships. But again, getting sponsorships is tricky because you have to do the work. You have to bang on doors. And, you know, a lot of people talk a good game, but they don't want to actually get that involved. So I will happily take any questions you guys have. And, again, I don't want to take too much of your time. But I think it's important that this gets done every year with this presentation so that you guys have a clear understanding of where we are.
Good.
So there's got to be some questions.
Behind you.
Oh. Anyone for council first?
One question.
Sure.
How does the concession stand do?
It was profitable.
There's no major problems or anything like that?
Nope. We worked with Keith Gonzalez and made sure all the spring inspections were done and taken care of by the different vendors that have to do that type of thing.
That's both concession stands?
Both.
The one at the...
We never used it this year. We didn't use the concession stand at the grandstand.
I didn't.
So we did, well, for the softball tournament that we have in June, early June, generally this year what we did was we worked with a third-party caterer.
Okay.
So we split the profits. This way we didn't have to deal with any of that.
Okay.
But as far as the concession stand goes, generally I ask all of the concession stand managers at the end of the season to give me feedback about items that I've sold, because I always look at the list of food and desserts and type of thing as organic in the sense that it could change. So if you're selling, you're never selling pizza, then we get rid of pizza. If people are asking for pizza and we don't have pizza, we know we need to put pizza on the menu. So give the people what they want. And again, I'm very visual, so I want to see the signs that have the different type of ice creams, because kids can't read a lot of times, so they see, I want that, you know. So it's a whole experience.
It's like SpongeBob.
Yeah, it's a whole experience, so we try to do the best we can to maximize that.
Okay.
I've been running in the 5Ks, I think, since they started, but I just wondered why, I ran this year too,
yep.
But why you decided,
move it.
Why it was decided.
Why to move it?
Mm-hmm.
There was a couple reasons. One, I was running it by myself, and there was just, when you run it through town, there's so much extra legwork that has to go in. Mm-hmm. You have to notice the residents, you have to make those flyers up, you have to print those flyers. You have to walk the whole route and notice all of the residents. Then you have to get the parking, no parking signs from the police, and you have to hang them along the whole entire route. More so than the work aspect. The biggest reason was it was more of a safety issue, because even though we had DPW put all the barricades up every year, and we had 2 police cars doing their due diligence and stuff, we still had constant people running the barricades, ignoring the barricades. And when you have small children in the middle of the street running the race and parents running the race, the last thing you want to have is a safety issue. So, you know, I made the judgment call to move it to Meadowbreeze Park because it's a secure environment. There's very little traffic at that point. We still have the police department there.
Mm-hmm.
Half of the route goes through the park, so it's not like you're on any major roads. So
it's,
I mean,
more safety and logistics.
Mostly it was safety.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly. Because now, I mean, my job is 60 miles away, so I can't say at lunchtime I'll run outside and hang signs. You know, so you either get a group of people that agree to help you do this, or you figure out a different location. So in a perfect world, it would run through town, but I think the safety issue sort of eliminates that. Not to say it can never go through town again, but if it were to go through town again, we would definitely need to have a large dedicated group. The problem is there's so many side streets and stuff that it goes lined through.
No, I know, yeah.
So there's so many ingresses and egresses, and when you count the alleyways that cars can come in and out, you're at 50 different locations where cars can break the barricades.
True.
So, you know, we'll never get that kind of commitment from volunteers to help that.
Mm-hmm.
Just so that was the main reason why it was moved. Unfortunate, but it did happen that way. Michael, anything? Ethel?
Anyone else from council?
Okay.
Ms. Detlef, you have something.
I just wanted to say it's nice to hear that the pool has turned the corner.
Yeah, thank you.
Good.
It's a lot of little things that add up to a big thing.
Yep.
You know, so
what's
I think that's...
Splash pad?
What is it?
Mm.
It's basically a flat surface with different water features. Some of the water... yeah, some of the water features...
Yeah, but like you said, that people...
It has like the mushroom with the water cascading down from it.
It's mostly for kids. It could be for elderly that can't get into the pool. It could be for somebody broke their arm and they can't go into the pool, but they still want to play with their kids in an environment where they can get wet, but not fully wet.
Water comes out of all of those.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Like a sprinkler.
Yeah, kind of like a sprinkler on
steroids.
But it's interesting because... it was in a perfect location, too, because that area of the baby pool area was pretty much a dead space.
Mm-hmm.
So let's maximize the area within the pool fence, and that's what we did.
Yeah.
So. Nothing else, I'll end my session, and thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank
You've done
you.
A wonderful job as our chairman for the recreation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
I expect a rate.
Yeah, oh, we'll double your salary. Mr. Monteverdi.
Good evening. It's a pleasure to be here. Like Vic, I'm not going to read this whole thing. You guys have it. I do have one update, which I dropped on everybody's spot,
mm-hmm.
which is this. It's a more complete list of the events broken out by big events, big good night, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
This is a work in progress. It's really not the way it's going to look. But we're playing with trying to make it as appealing as possible. I guess everybody knows what the bid is. I don't need to go through that, right?
I think we're good on that.
All right. For 2015, the slate of events that we ran, well, you know them all. We had a business recognition event, Art and Craft Beer Festival, Car Show and Green Festival, which is a combined event. Sci-Fi Fantasy Day, which was a new event, Festival in the Borough with a kickoff party, Holiday Hometown Halloween, and Hometown Holiday, which we just got finished with. Additionally, we ran Good Night Bid every first Tuesday each month, which has turned out to be a pretty fabulous networking event, and it seems to work very well and a place that has a bar. So we are...
Everything goes better with liquor.
Yes, it does. It loosens everybody up. And even if we do a BYOB, like we've done it at Juanito's a couple times, it's worked out very well. We're averaging about 15 to 20 people each Tuesday.
Okay.
And some of them are different, so it's working out very well. The Lunch and Learn is a monthly event as well, the second Thursday of each month. It's a topic-driven event. What we're finding is if the topic, this is no surprise, if the topic is interesting, we get more people. If it's not, we kind of lose. The biggest event we had was where we had the memory expert. He came and did a lot of memory exercises. The guy was fantastic. I actually bought one of his programs and then forgot where I put it. But we will try to find that. Our first time ever Halloween-themed fundraising event, dubbed Night of the Living Bid, was held at the Bistro. It was wonderfully executed, but lightly followed. So we need to work on that for next year. It was a fundraiser that made some funds, but not what we expected. There's a whole public relations and marketing section with a list of who we have advertised with. Mm-hmm. We've tried some new things this year. One of the new things that we got going is I take an interesting business from the borough group to Flemington, and they give them 45 minutes on air in a podcast, and then I use the other 15 minutes to promote some of the events that we've done. Steve Lasky from Lasky's Trains was the first one. While Steve has not really increased sales of trains as a result of that, he did tell me today his repairs are off the chart. He's really fixing a lot more trains. So he's very busy. I don't know whether or not we can attribute to him being on the air. He was fantastic. He talked about toy trains, big trains, steam trains. He did a great job. And then we had Mary Ann from May's Place, which is a high-end consignment boutique. She did a great job, too. So the numbers that we have here are extrapolated. We try to get as many hits during the course of each event as we can. Some things have worked well, others have not. The stuff that has worked well, we'll probably try to do again. So we keep playing with that. The parking lot, we've been working with the parking lot, trying to keep it clean. One of our big problems, especially for the farmers markets, is our team would blow the parking lot out at Thursday evening. Your team would come along and take up the garbage on 57, and then by Saturday morning, the park was full of garbage again, which meant that the green team had to sweep the park again. I don't know what the answer is for that. We could talk about that at another time. That's a problem for us. We've changed the farmers market where we're going to have the farmers market on 57 and use the pocket park for parking. We think that will work better for us because we're not taking away parking. Farmers will be up and down 57. People will be going into the storefronts, hopefully. And the plan is to have them run sidewalk sales on the Saturdays that we have the farmers market. Business recruitment and retention. We've got a new outfit called Take It for Granted that's going in the old Agway building on 57 going towards Hackettstown on the left-hand side. He's going to have a granite fabrication plant in the back. He's trying to rent out the front space to retail, and I did believe he has two apartments upstairs. Rudy brought that gentleman into my office, and we're going to be working with him to try to help him, fill up his place. Get a grip on Main Street, 57, put a huge addition on the back, in the back of his store where he has antiques. I would urge anybody who hasn't been there to go look. It really is a fabulous back. The front of it is all full of tools that he does some amazing creative stuff with, but the back is really amazing. Colibri is a fabric dyeing artist from Manhattan. His name is Costas, and I can't pronounce his last name. He's a very interesting older Greek gentleman who has worked in the fashion industry all his life. He's a premier fabric dyeing person who has worked with all of the major designers. He rattled off a whole bunch of designers in a meeting we had, mm-hmm, in the main office, and you could tell by the way I'm dressed, I'm not really paying much attention to designers, but it seemed like he really knew what he was doing, and he wants to bring that art to Washington Borough and teach the young people here, so it'll keep going forward. Yeah, he's a very interesting fellow. He's renting the space right across the parking lot from Arctic Foods. I think it was Optics, right off of 57. So that end of town seems to be working up pretty good. And then everybody knows what's going on with the Washington Theater. Mm-hmm. He's still looking for money. I sent him an email today because I had a meeting with the United States Department of Agriculture.
Janice Riga.
Yeah, Janice Riga, who went through a whole laundry list. We need to talk about that, too, because she went through a whole laundry list of things that she can do in rural development. And when I talked about the theater, they seemed very interested. Mm-hmm. So I put him in touch with those folks. If you go to, I guess it's page 12, because it follows page 11, is the 2016 full board meeting calendar, the bid board. On January 7th, we'll have our election of officers. It's an annual meeting. February 4th is the business recognition reception, which takes place of a meeting. And then after that, it's April 7th, June 2nd, August 4th, October 6th, and November 3rd. They take place on Thursdays at the bid office commencing at 7 o'clock. Sometimes they run 2 hours, sometimes not. I don't think any questions at this point. We're still going good. I talked about the event calendar. This new one, Sci-Fi Fantasy Day, has changed around a little bit. We had a fundraiser that was scheduled for June 30th. We're talking about that one because it's very close to the 4th of July, and we're thinking that it's too close to the 4th of July. Nobody's going to be around. There'll be more details coming out, and we're trying to drive people to our website so that they can get the details from the website. But this will be a cleaner version of this. Will be in all the storefronts, and then we'll have a version for the farmers market as well, just like we did last year. All right. On Appendix F is our budget overview. Our total income was $236,080. And if you add up the next four lines, that equal, those are our expenses, they add up to $236,080. So we got a zero-based budget. We don't make money, we don't lose money. Some of the things that we're going to try to do in 2016 is we're looking at replacing the banners. Now we got two sets of banners now. There's the snowflake banners for the winter, and then we have hometown friendly banners, and we switch them out. A lot of those banners are destroyed. The brackets are bent, so we're looking at replacing all of those banners, and we're trying to come up with the best possible plan for that. We're also looking to replace the planters mm-hmm. on Route 57. The wooden ones are pretty much banged up. They don't survive the winter very well. We have an example, if anybody wants to stop in to the bid office, it's a polymer, looks like cement, but it's not. It is a huge bucket with 35-gallon reservoir for water at the bottom. Mm-hmm. It has a tray at the top with four big rope wicks that go into the bottom, reach all the way to the bottom. So you put the dirt and the flowers in.
Those are the ones, because I saw them last year down at the League of Municipalities mm-hmm. convention. Yeah.
The guy came in and did a very nice job of presenting them. I kind of like them because it means we fill them up once.
Right.
The plants don't die. The only thing you have to do is at the end of the season, you drain them out, pick them up and put them in the shed, and they stack. So the only problem is they're kind of expensive. We're looking at ways to come up with the money for them or phase them in. Maybe we'll do half of the new ones and half of the old ones. We're talking about an adopter, a planter program, get a plaque.
I was just going to say, how about people sponsor it?
Yeah, sponsor a planter.
Yep.
So there's a couple of things that we can do. The terracotta ones will really look good. The ones that look like cement, not so much, the kind of blah. The terracotta ones really look nice.
What are they running in cost?
They're $265 a piece for the smaller ones and $325 for the bigger ones. And we need 36. So the numbers are rather large.
Right.
But we save money because we don't have to hire anybody to water them throughout the season. They just have to be put up, and I guess the guy runs around with a tube of water and fills them up.
Maybe we can start getting out there to the public, and people might take them with a sponsorship.
Yeah. The technology is really fabulous. Okay. Any questions or comments?
Could you go like a small, big mixture in town?
Yeah, we talked about that, because the bigger ones look really nice on 57, where you have a wide sidewalk. But up further by the embroidery store, where the sidewalk is narrow, they won't work. You got to use a smaller one there. You go down Broad Street in front of Juanito's, they have a narrow sidewalk. So you'd have to put a smaller one there. So it would be a mix and match kind of a thing. And the other thing about the banners, I don't know, you guys probably noticed this, we're missing a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
There are spaces, long spaces with no banners.
Mm-hmm.
And I would prefer to see banners throughout.
Sure.
What I call Main Street, and I'm always correct with this.
Where they run a piece, roughly, the banners.
I can't answer that because we're in the we're in the search phase of this.
Okay.
There's a couple of different camps. At one time, I understand, we had four different banners. We put them up and down four times a year. Now we're down to two banners. I prefer one all-season banner. You put them up once, and you get maybe 20% that extra, so that if they break or something happens to them, you replace the banner, rather than putting them up and down twice
again,
a year.
That could be like a sponsorship, too?
We could do that, too, yeah. I think we could make them bigger. Because there'd be a four-season banner. I think the message has to be different. We go through a lot of effort to get them up and down, even twice a year. I don't know how they did it four times.
Well, suggestion, John, I started noticing some towns, instead of just having the bracket where they're on the top and they flip in the breeze and get hung up over the wires, they have two brackets, one at the top, one at the bottom, and they have the air slices in them so that they don't rip, and then they stay like firm.
I'm a big fan of the air slices. Ours, we had the two brackets, but there were no air slices, and we actually have one on Broad Street, rip the bottom bracket out, and it's wrapped around the electrical pole.
Mm-hmm.
So John Dorsch is going to get up there. Good thing he's an electrician. He can straighten that one out for us.
And the logo, you say something about changing the logo?
We're going to I got to bring it to the board. The ideas, we're going to come up with three different ideas. I don't know what it's going to look like. Our logo is the Washington head in kind of a iridescent color.
Mm-hmm.
It screams Washington. What we surround that with, maybe we have a contest in the school.
I was going to say, like a contest in
kids school.
The high school.
The high school. We were actually talking, Robin and I were talking about having a contest for the high school to have pieces of art, sculptures, put along 57
mm-hmm.
and just leave them there. My son went to the Delaware School of Art and Design, and if you've ever been to that town, they have sculpture all over the place. It stays there all the time, and the people seem to really enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's about it.
Anyone else from council? Ms. Detlef.
Is there anything going on with BASS?
You want to do that?
No comment at this point.
Really?
Yeah.
Again?
Ask me after January 5th.
After the 5th?
Mm-hmm. Okay. That brings us to the code book.
Rich.
Welcome back, Mrs. Gleva.
Thank you. All right, first, my apologies. I really hope to get this done in the first quarter of the year, but Christine and I definitely did meet a few times, but between her personal life, my personal life, borough fires, we just didn't get to meet as much as we had wanted to. So I believe you have a presentation in front of you. I just want to give a little brief history to the new council members. This committee, we actually started, I think, like in 2010. That's how long we've been working on this. This is a massive project. The last time it was done was in 1974. And what we've been doing is going through every single ordinance in our gigantic code book. So when we first started back in 2010, I had written a letter, and it went out to all the committees, department heads, for their recommendations on what they felt needed to be updated and changed. We worked with Rudy on certain things. The planning board, we actually, they reached out at that time to the planning board engineer. There are some things that we've received, some things we didn't receive. So it's been a real work in progress. Some of the ordinances required like immediate changes. So in the past 5 years, we've actually introduced an update to say to the street ordinance. The Shade Tree Commission, we had reached out to them, and they had a massive overhaul of their whole ordinance. We've since passed that, but they're not in the code book yet, as well as even now some of the slides in here. Since we've worked on it, we have new state legislation that has changed, which is affecting ours, like Chapter 26 rental properties. So I'll get into that a little bit. So we're not done yet. And then one of the major overhauls that we were trying to work on was the nuisance ordinance. At the time, Councilman Torres, and you know, I expressed my gratitude for all his work on the project. He recommended that we eliminate, repeal some of our ordinances, say the weeds and obnoxious growth, and just have one nuisance ordinance that encompasses anything kind of related to a nuisance. So that's going to be one of my questions to you folks at the end. Would we like to continue that part of it or keep some of them separate? Because it will determine how Christine and I go forward as far as presenting the nuisance ordinance to all of you. So that's a little bit of a brief history. We also, at the time, one of the reasons it hasn't been done is it costs quite a bit of money to do this. So we've encumbered the money, so that's why we're okay every year that that money is set aside for this project. But we had the General Code Book folks do their editorial analysis, which is this huge binder. So we've incorporated a lot of their recommendations into our presentations so that we've answered all their questions so that this is completed as well. What council decided way back when is at the end what we're going to do is just present basically one gigantic ordinance to make all of the changes to all of the ordinances. Right, Christine? Yeah. Is that, am I saying it right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's how it's going to be. So that's the way we've been proceeding. So this is actually part three. Over the years, Councilman Torres and I have already presented two other presentations, and that was approved by the governing body, all of those changes. So we're not going to reinvent the wheel. Those things are done. It's just this last presentation that needs to be approved. So I know you're just getting this tonight. I'm hoping maybe I can come back in January and you can give the go-ahead, or if, read through it. If you have any questions about these specific chapters, I can answer them then. Or actually, it would be better if you could get the questions to Christine first before I come back. So I'll go through each page real quick. Christine gave you a general overview for those that are new. Again, I'm not going to read every single thing. You can take it back and read it, but this was Chapter 57 and 59, which is stormwater management. This was last updated in 2006, so the current ordinance is accurate. There are a few items for consideration based on like the editorial analysis, and basically this is the change that's being made throughout every ordinance, that we need to change our penalties so that basically they're the same as the state standard maximum penalty. And that's, you're going to see that basically in every chapter that we're changing that. Chapter 59, Public Health, is actually the nuisance ordinance, and I'm going to come to that later. But at a minimum, we need to at least change the maximum penalty. Chapter 61, we reviewed all the fines, the fees, everything. Nothing needs to be changed in that. A couple people maybe suggested different ways of doing it, but we felt the way that we currently number all the houses and everything, it's sufficient, not necessary to make any other changes. Chapter 64 is the parks in the borough. This article, in 2011, we reestablished the Recreation Commission, so that changed things. We're going to be, basically that will be included in this new thing. The only thing that we recommended is in the current code book, it says that the Board of Recreation Commissioners has full control over all lands, playgrounds, and recreation places. And we're recommending that we change it so that it says they have control over the playgrounds and recreation places and may adopt the rules for the use thereof that are purchased or leased in the name of the Borough of Washington and so deemed by the governing body for recreational use. We just felt it wasn't necessarily for them to have full control over all the land, such as this land and the library, and we just felt it reads better that way if they have control over those places. And again, changing it from Recreation Department to Recreation Commission. The other thing is the fees. This changes yearly, so instead of, in order to change it, it's such a massive thing to change it in this book, it's just easier if we say the current recreation fee ordinance is on file in the borough clerk's office. So that's what we're recommending for that. Chapter 66 is something that our attorney is currently reviewing. It was amended in its entirety in 2009, and apparently there's been
Don't have 66.
What's that?
We pulled it out.
So I don't have what you have in front of you. But we pulled it out, and I'm going to talk about it in the last page. I'll skip over the pages then. Chapter 70, sewers. You can read those little things that we recommend. Again, the penalties. The majority of the sewer ordinance is fine. Chapter 76, there's no revisions. This ordinance was updated in 2013, and that new will be in the book. Chapter 78 is swimming pools. Let's see, it's increased the penalties to the standard maximum. And then the construction and fencing of swimming pools are governed by the Uniform Construction Code. And currently it refers to the Building Inspector and Board of Health. And those references need to be changed to the Division of Community Affairs Construction Office and the County Board of Health. Taxi cabs, we have those changes there. The license and the driver fees, those things need to be changed. We felt we should add a section. We spoke with the code enforcement. And it's been recommended that if the business is not in the B1 or B2 zone limit, we need to limit the number of commercial vehicles stored at a residence, and we're recommending one car. That's something for you all to, agree on or not change the number. But also there's, it's kind of outdated hours, taxi cab, and the general Codebook folks, they recommended sample legislation, and that's included in your packet if you want to make it more like that. Or we can just do the minimum changes that we have at slide. Chapter 83 are trees. Certain sections of this chapter were revised and updated with the new shade tree ordinance that was adopted, so those things will need to be updated. Chapter 85, this was a major updated ordinance that we did in December 2014. Mm-hmm. There are still other changes that need to be made throughout that ordinance. They're listed there. Otherwise, that's it. Chapter 87 is towing and storage of motor vehicles. We have a whole ordinance, but we're going to revise the chapter to follow the towing ordinance of the police department. so that will be changed based on the township towing ordinance. Chapter 89 is water. Again, it's just certain references that we're changing. We also recommended, and this was based on a recommendation of the code book folks, doing the way we, you have to, if you're really interested, go back, look up the chapter and see how it's currently written, but we're recommending that a warning is issued for the first offense, and then after the warning, the standard maximum penalties would apply. That's currently not how it is, and I don't have it memorized, so if you just look back in your code book. Chapter 91 is weeds and obnoxious growths, and we are recommending that we repeal the whole chapter and place it in the nuisance ordinance. Not much has changed in the appendix. We had a whole new cable franchise agreement that was completed in 2010. Chapter A97, this you'll see, we're just recommending delete it. It doesn't apply to us anymore.
Do we need anything for that now, since that we do still sewer some township residences?
This came from Christine.
It's only for a period of 15 years. It's obsolete.
Yeah, but I mean, should we have something new since we do sewer some township residences?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Something to consider, I guess.
Yeah, it is something to consider. I would have to reread it, maybe forward it to Leslie to take a look at it.
Yeah, I'd have to look at what the ordinance.
I can't remember how it.
Yeah, I don't think it has to do, say, with quick check kind of thing.
No, I don't think so either. That's why the recommendation
right.
is
to
delete.
Right, so, but I'm going to make a note,
okay.
too.
Which number is that? I'm sorry.
This is in the appendix, chapter A97.
Okay. Just back into the last page of the presentation.
And then chapter A98, I'm trying to think of what, do you know off the top of your head, Christine, what's in A98? Like the editorial analysis gave different suggestions, but we felt no recommended changes at this time. It wasn't necessary. And then the last page to be approved in 2016. Again, I'll come back in January, and if like this can all get approved, then those chapters will be completely done. Chapter 66, the attorney's working on, that's the rental property. Chapter 69 and 73 are soil erosion and sediment control and soil removal. Mm-hmm. We have a couple of minor little changes based on the editorial analysis and some other things, but we've also recommended, based on the code book, that the municipal attorney review it. So they have actually gone, Christine said, and they've met with the Warren County Soil Conservation District, and there are things that need to be changed. So it's not something that we're going to be recommending, but once we get their changes, we will present it to you. Basically, it's just to amend it and make it more up-to-date, those chapters. Chapter 75, this was streets, I believe. It's a huge chapter with multiple articles, and Article 4, 6, and 7, again, let me see if I have it here, Chapter 75, yeah. We have, like, multiple pages in our presentation to you. So we have lots of things that, you know, we've already recommended. For example, like we're saying, delete 75.7, no person shall ride a horse or other animal on the sidewalk. Like, you know, that's so outdated. So we already have our changes, but we're waiting also for the municipal engineer on those articles for their recommendations. And Article 9 is under attorney review. Certain chapters and aspects are totally beyond our knowledge, area of expertise, or realm, and so we have to rely on, you know, professionals. Chapter 59, again, we spent countless hours working on the nuisance ordinance. It was presented a couple of times to the governing body. One of the major things had to do with the vacant buildings and like the problems we've been having with Paramount and stuff like that. And it was at the meeting, you know, it was basically voted down if all that was included in the nuisance ordinance. So we have since taken all of those pages out. One of the things that we were inserting was the jake breaking. We had residents that had been asking for a long, long time for jake breaking. Unfortunately, it got bottled up in this, but thankfully you all have passed the jake breaking aspect of it. So anyway, Chapter 59, it's a bear, and I was looking for guidance on whether you still want to delete those other chapters, like I said, like weeds and obnoxious growth, and combine it all into one big one, or keep it separate. Because there's not too much that we were really changing as far as nuisance, because we took out that big major thing. So it's not really going to take too much time now to tweak it. I just wanted to know how this governing body wants to proceed with the nuisance ordinance.
I did give Christine some legislation from Bridgeton was one of them, and
yes.
Evesham, which dealt with abandoned properties.
Hmm.
I know you mentioned you kind of did away with it, but new information for you to consider when you go through it.
Okay.
Can abandoned properties be a separate ordinance, since that was hard to keep in the nuisance ordinance? Because it...
You could.
You could do it separately.
So maybe that makes sense to have that be separate, since that's, I don't know. I mean, how does that normally work in other municipalities?
I actually did one last year for another municipality where I combined them all. For me, it worked better. I can send you a copy of
that'd be great.
What I put together,
yeah.
And then you can decide if that's something that you want to do or whether it makes more sense to you to have it separate.
Okay. Yeah, if you could send that to
me,
that'd be great.
Okay.
And then the other chapter, which is even worse than nuisance, is zoning. Totally out of, our area of expertise. At the time, we did get some input from the planning board engineer and the municipal engineer. And so I have some documentation from them. Unfortunately, we're not going to do a lot of overhaul. It needs a total new overhaul. And basically, you really can't do that until you do a new master plan. And that's not happening anytime soon because of the cost. So there's not a lot we can do. Some of what their recommendations were, we can't do. But definitely some of them we could incorporate to make it a little bit better. But it's, again, out of my, area of expertise at all. So anyway, Chapter 59 and 94, at this point, I'm looking for someone to come on the committee and to help with that, because we're so close to being done with this whole gigantic project.
So 59 is the nuisance.
Right.
And 94 is zoning.
Yes.
I'm willing to help with that.
Okay. So I'll get your contact information from Christine, and then in the new year we can start doing that. I think if we meet at least just once a week, we could get it done in a relatively short time frame. And if you could share with her what Finelli had shared and Heil and Gruhl with her. And has everyone gotten the first two presentations, just for your own?
I have to forward that.
Yeah, if you could share the first two presentations
I'll
with everyone.
Does everyone have PowerPoint, and do I need to make copies?
And lastly, then, do you feel you want to... Well, okay, we're going to wait, and we'll see what you have together in your ordinance.
I'll email that out to you guys tomorrow.
All right, and then after we meet, you can share it with council.
Okay.
All right, does anyone have any questions? Like I said, look it over, and if you have questions, then I can come back. Maybe the second meeting I'll come back, and then we can at least get those chapters done with, and then maybe even before then we will have met one time. Okay?
Council? I think we have one from the audience. It would be your first question ever.
Yes.
Ms. Detlef.
Is the ordinance that used to be in there for the don't run your horse 5 miles an hour down the road, is that?
Anything related to those signs we have in here to delete, that would probably be on the streets. There were a couple about cart wagons and things like that.
Is there any possibility of, like, setting those things aside, like, at a date?
Part
of the history.
Yeah, we could do that.
And the other thing is, can we have a noise ordinance?
That's one of those areas with, it is in there. There is definitely a noise ordinance in there. And then it's also multiple places because under animals, it talks about barking.
Trains?
I don't think there's anything in there for trains.
You can't touch that.
Yeah.
Can't mess with that.
You're not going to get anything from the web.
But like they just changed the jake braking, so now that's to help with noise control also, so that they're not that squeaking brake. But there is a, there are noise pieces in the nuisance ordinance. Nothing to do with chickens, though, sorry.
That's federal legislation.
We don't have a lot of control over the federal.
I realize that, but on the other hand, you have the train is in a residential area. And there are days that you cannot hear the person that you're looking at. You see a mouth going, but you don't know.
Right. I think that's one of those things, unfortunately, when you're looking to buy somewhere, you notice if there's a train. They weren't there,
Yeah, that would be something to bring up to Congressman Garrett or Senators Booker and Menendez.
Oh, Lordy.
Yeah.
All right, thank you for volunteering, and Merry Christmas, everyone.
Thank you.
That brings us to the audience portion. So I'll open the audience portion for remarks, petitions, statements, and testimony from guests. You know the drill. I know it's been a while, but I'm sure you remember.
I seldom do this. Okay. I'm Edna Detlis on Fisher Avenue. I want to know, are we getting any money back for the DPW problem that we had with the, them being late?
We have had all of our depositions and hearings and everything like that. I believe the attorneys have presented, or are they about to present their final notes on it? About to?
The due date has been passed.
Okay.
They submitted.
So now we're waiting on the judge.
Oh. Okay. Just curious.
Yeah. So we hope to know sometime in 2016.
Okay. That'd be nice.
Yeah, it would. It's only, what, 7 years that we're into that or something?
It's
6 years?
A long time.
Anyone else from the audience?
Make a motion to close the audience portion.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? We have two reports tonight. Motion to receive and file.
Second.
Any discussion on either of the reports? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions on that? Do we have any committee reports tonight?
I have an update from Dawson regarding Gardner's Court sewer replacement and the fourth main. He stated that he submitted all the TWA paperwork to the DEP for the fourth main and is now under review. We have received 3 quotes for the work to be done on Gardner's Court and South Prospect. This agreement has been forwarded on to myself, to Leslie. You got a copy of that, right? And Dawson, and we're hoping to review it and get it on the first meeting in January. If not, the 28th at our special meeting, we can do it then as well, but I want to make sure that Leslie, Dawson, and I review it first. We don't have it all recorded. It was late Friday or Thursday.
I think I have it. We'll touch base tomorrow.
Okay. And that's where we stand. I'm hoping to have it for the 28th, the special meeting. If not, it'll be January 5th. That's all I have in my
head. All right. We have no old business. We have no ordinances. Brings us to new business for the amendment of the shared service agreement for the library.
So moved.
Okay. Is there any discussion on this? Let's do a roll call on this one, please.
Noon? Yes. Heinrich?
Yes.
Plumko?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Connery?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Okay. Let's do resolutions 200, 201, and 202 together.
So moved.
All redemptions of tax certificates. Are there any discussion on these? Roll call, please.
Connery?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Newton?
Yes.
Heinrich?
Yes.
Plumko?
Yes.
Okay. Vouchers.
Motion to pay the vouchers.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion on the bill lists? Roll call, please.
Heinrich?
Yes.
Connery?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes, everything except for our contribution to what?
McDonald?
Yes.
Noon?
Yes.
Klimko?
Yes.
Ms. Blanchard, did we give you anything to do this week?
Well, I'm going to be reviewing the Gardner's Court agreement with the attorney and the engineer, and I'll send out all of the previous presentations the code committee did, and I'll bring Josephine up to speed. So thank you, Josephine, for helping, because we need it.
All right, do we need an executive session tonight?
I think we need a brief one.
I think we need a fairly brief one.
Okay. Let's do our council remarks first. Mr. Heinrich, do you have anything?
Just want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And a safe New Year. That's
it. Thank you, sir. Ms. Noon.
I want to actually thank Janine Gleva, Don, but for working so hard to continue to move the code book changes forward, and I'm looking forward to working on that.
Ms. Conrad.
I just want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year and a Happy Hanukkah.
Mr. Higgins.
Merry Christmas to everybody, but I do have something else.
Sure.
There are 9 lights out in...
Yep.
11. Oh, I counted 9.
They're in process.
Yeah, it's in process.
Who takes care of that, us or...
JCP&L. I guess I was remiss in not adding all of council, because I know Councilman Heinrich and Mayor McDonald had brought it up to me at the last meeting. And I have worked with John Espid, thank you very much, for helping facilitate that. It takes a lot off of me. He got in touch with Stan at JCP&L, and they are aware, and they are working to fix them.
Right. I believe Kayla has marked them with yellow ribbon.
Yes, she has.
They were signed with yellow ribbon so they could identify them. The problem is the poles do not have numbers, so Kayla went around and made a count of the poles, took the nearest address, sided with the yellow ribbon. The fact that they don't look like oak trees, I guess, is a problem. But Stan will get back to us.
I'm sure he will.
Yeah. They will dispatch with their truck. The reason we had to do yellow ribbons is he can't tell me whether they're coming in the daytime or at night. So.
Okay. Anything else?
No, I don't think so.
Ms. Klimko.
Did we find out about Krauser's, about getting that stuff cleaned up down there?
The stuff on the side of Krauser's?
Yes. The couch stuff on the side of Krauser's, and then all
I
that.
I believe there
weeds in the back.
There is a the person who owns the building has been in court several times. Sure. The person who owns the building has failed to show up to court. So it's a little bit touchy right now, but yes, I think I will have to speak to him personally to get it removed. That's all I can say about that.
How about the mattresses this morning?
You know, speaking about Krauser's, did you know that there is a car parked out there on 57 with a for sale sign in it that hasn't moved for days? Weeks.
It's been out there for
weeks. Weeks.
He parked. Well, it's been there at least probably a week that I'm aware of.
He parked it.
It has moved at specific times.
Right. Yeah.
Really?
Because I come down looking for it, it's gone.
He knows you're coming.
They do. Okay, but I don't know how. Okay.
We got a worm.
Neither one of them are pleasant.
Is this on 57?
Yep.
Yeah. Right in front of
the house. Right.
Somebody's
the
got a big for sale sign on it, and it's been sitting there for over two
over
months
it
now.
It's
been
green for sale sign. It didn't move over the weekend.
I don't know, but I can certainly reach out to Deputy Chief tomorrow and tell him.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else, Ms. Klimko?
I don't think so. No. And just wish everybody a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Enjoy your holidays.
Mr. Thompson.
Happy Merry Christmas, Happy New Year to everybody, and enjoy. Be safe.
Okay. We did have the Christmas tree lighting. It was very well attended.
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Noon was there. I understand Ms. Klimko was there incognito.
Yes.
Thank you both for your weeks. It was wonderful to have you there.
Were you a character?
She was. The police department was there, their presence was well-known. Santa came, it seems that a good time was had by all who attended.
It was nicely attended, much better than last year.
And that was all I have, so I guess, you want a 10-minute break for executive, or you want to go right into executive?
We'll go right into it.
Yeah.
Then I would accept the motion for executive session for...
Contract and attorney client.
Okay. Okay, any discussion?